He takes my hand and kisses it.
Yeah, but I'll forgive you. After last night, I can put up with a little history, gross as it may be.
We're in the middle of an incredibly warm, coffee-tinted kiss when my phone rings. I grab it, ready to answer Nick and tell him to leave me alone already. But it's Susan Smythe on the caller ID. Sorry, I hold my finger to Henry's lips. This one I'd better take. Hello? Jane, it's Susan Smythe. Yes, I can see that. Oh, I just wanted to warn you about something.
Ah, the Roche Hotel, never a dull moment.
Warn me about what? One of our guests lost a boa.
I hope you mean the feathered kind. God, I hope she means the feathered kind.
No.
Her voice quivers.
It's the scaly kind. We've looked everywhere.
So what do you want me to do if we find it? Call the owner or animal control?
Animal control already searched. They suspect it slithered into the sewer system. We've left the cage out in the office just in case. I'm sure Jerry can handle it if it does show up.
Jerry will have to handle it. Snakes and me don't mix.
Okay, thanks. Oh, and Jane, one more thing.
What's that?
Susan lowers her voice to a raspy whisper. Mrs. Roche doesn't know about it. She's staying here tonight, so best to keep quiet. She'll have a conniption.
I click end and Henry asks, What now?
Someone lost a snake in the hotel, where I'll be working all night, alone.
He laughs. At least you have Jerry. If anyone can intimidate a snake, it's him.
When there's a chance of a reptile fugitive lurking somewhere in your vicinity, it makes the night a little tense, to say the least. The snake's cage is in the office with a nameplate that reads, Precious.
Right.
I've never thought of any reptile as precious, no matter how charming their personality. All is quiet until about 11:30 p.m. I'm checking in a late arrival when Jerry skulks through the lobby like a coveralled Sasquatch on the prowl. He's holding the cage in one hand and a broom in the other. The guest is a young man with blonde dreadlocks and a t-shirt with hemptosis embroidered on the front pocket.
Dude, he whispers to me while watching Jerry disappear down the hall. What's going on?
A poodle, I say. Someone lost a poodle.
Hemp boy chuckles. Awesome. Must be some tripped out poodle. Little hashish might calm him down. He passes Jean's pocket and winks.
I don't think that'll be necessary. Here's your key.
Thanks, man.
I don't know if he's really mistaken me for a guy or if he's just stoned, so I smile sweetly and add, This is a non-smoking facility, by the way. Have a great night.
Yeah, you too. If you need any hemp accessories, we got good stuff, man. Shirts, shoes, purses, you name it.
He tosses a business card on the front desk and swaggers off, but stops before reaching the hall and looks at the ceiling.
There's something banging around up there.
He turns to me and whispers.
Maybe it's the poodle. Want me to get him?
No. Enjoy your night. I wait for him to shrug and disappear down the hall. Then I frantically page Jerry. Snake, here, ceiling. 2 minutes later, Jerry appears, broom in one hand and ladder in the other. He stands frozen for a second, one ear turned upward, and then sets the ladder in the breakfast area. He climbs up and removes a ceiling tile. Did you find it? God, I hope he's found it. He holds up a hand to shush me.
I'm looking.
His furry head disappears into the ceiling. Mrs. Roche shuffles through the lobby in her robe and slippers. She removes a hand towel from her head and wraps it around the naked David statue like he's just stepped from the shower. I glance at Jerry. Mrs. Roche, could I get you something?
It's just my rheumatism. No need to fuss over me. A cup of tea usually helps.
She opens a drawer.
Now where are all those tea bags?
Jerry's in up to his waist now. A few bangs and bumps echo from the ceiling.